of course, part of my life was work. And since I was at work a lot, then my content became work related as well. Mm-hmm. And that's when people really started reacting to that a lot more. And I thought, okay, people think this is interesting. What if we talk some more about it? And then I kind of just fell into that or rolled into it with not really knowing where I was going, but it was fun. So I just followed it.
Cool. Welcome to the 78th episode of the Struggling Scientist podcast. We are a podcast by scientists, for scientists, anybody science adjacent, and perhaps even hobbyists. My name is Susanna, and I'm here with my co-host, Jaron.
Hi.
In this episode, we will talk with Natalie Riley, the person behind the very popular Life and Sunshine Instagram account, where she shares vlogs and thoughts about her life as a PhD student. We're interested to hear how it all got started and what it's like to vlog your PhD. So let's start.
So Natalie, most people will know you as Life and Sunshine, but you are, of course, a PhD student from the Netherlands working in the field of molecular epidemiology. And somewhere along the line, you started sharing your PhD journey also on Instagram. Your videos and your photos of what it's like to be a PhD student have been quite successful, to say the least. And we were very curious to hear more about your journey. But before we dive into that, could you let us know a little bit more about yourself? What's the one thing you would want our listeners to know about you? And very important, do you have any interesting hobbies?
Hi, yes. I'm Natalie. And I guess the most interesting thing or something people should know about me is I am half Dutch and half American. So I was born here and then I moved to the US when I was 12. And then I did high school and my bachelor's degree there. So I lived there for 11 years. And then I moved back to Holland when I was 23 for my master's and then my PhD. So I do have two passports and I speak both languages. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Which part of the U.S. did you move to? Or
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
It's kind of East Coast, a bit southern-y. They have some big universities there, but most people, if you've seen anything like movies like The Notebook or anything that's, I think, what's his name? Nicholas Cage?
Oh, Sparks. Wrong Nicholas.
Yeah. All the romantic movies, they're all filmed and based in North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Was there a reason why you came back to the Netherlands for your master's and your PhD now as well?
I like the program for my master's here better because in the US, everything was quite broad still. And I wanted something a bit more specific that also gave me some options to choose what I wanted to study. And the program at the FU had the option of two internships that you had to do and you could choose what you wanted to do them in. And I thought, that sounds cool. I'm going to do that.
For sure.
So most of my hobbies involve sports. When I was in the US, I was a springboard diver for a very long time. So like a diving board, and then you do flips and then you land in the water without a splash, if you can.
Wow.
And since I've been here, my boyfriend is huge into kite surfing. So I've been trying to learn to kite surf, but that's difficult.
I can only imagine.
I've also been bouldering a bit and I'm going to go do that later today.
Oh, nice.
And I've been trying or been getting into doing triathlons. I've only done one so far, but I don't know. I like the endurance aspect of it. And my other hobby is to make jewelry. So I've been making earrings with beads and stuff like that. So, but that's kind of a newer one.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. And then next to all of that, you're also doing still a PhD and sharing it all on social media. That's a nice full agenda, I think. So at one point you decided to start sharing your PhD journey on Instagram. Can you tell us a little bit about those early days? What made you get started and what was it like?
So I started my Instagram account about 3 years ago and it was 2021. So it's kind of the middle of COVID and there wasn't that much to do at that point other than hang out at home. Very sometimes see friends and then work a lot. And I was kind of looking for a new hobby in a general sense because, I mean, like I said, I was doing lots of sports, but you can only do that for so long and you can only work for so long. Mm. And I'd always liked taking pictures, making videos and things like that. So I thought, well, what if I start an Instagram page? And at that point, I didn't really know what I wanted it to be about. I was just like, well, we're going to go put some stuff online and see how people react. That's kind of what made me get started. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we just kind of went with the flow from there. And then eventually, of course, part of my life was work. And since I was at work a lot, then my content became work related as well. Mm-hmm. And that's when people really started reacting to that a lot more. And I thought, okay, people think this is interesting. What if we talk some more about it? And then I kind of just fell into that or rolled into it with not really knowing where I was going, but it was fun. So I just followed it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool.
But so just to be clear then, so your original content was different from what you're doing now?
It was mostly just random pictures of anything I was doing in my life.
Bouldering. Just a normal Instagram account, I would say.
Yes.
Oh, well, cool that you sort of rolled almost into it. Indeed.
So I think that also touches on the next question in a little bit. Like, once you got started on Instagram, did you sort of expect it to reach as many scientists and academics and PhD students as it has? And as you started figuring out that people like what you're doing and like you're reaching these people, like, was that also the aim then, to reach more of them with your content?
So once I got into more of the PhD stuff, then I was more also finding other accounts that were doing similar things and seeing what people were interested in and what I thought was fun to do. And so I kind of, most of my Instagram has been just, well, let's try this. Mm. And now this is fun, so I'm going to try that. And I don't know. I mean, I wanted people to see it and to follow it, but I didn't have that many expectations of if people would actually like it. And the fact that people do and did and continue to follow is really cool.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I don't know if it was per se my most aim to be like, I'm going to have this many followers in this many years. I always wanted it to be a hobby and something fun. So anything around it that happened was fine.
Yeah. It evolved more naturally than, I guess. And why specifically Instagram? Because I can imagine with all your videos as well, like TikTok would also be a great platform, I guess.
Or YouTube.
So, or what?
YouTube. Or YouTube.
Yeah. So I started with Instagram because I wanted it to be mostly pictures. Mm. But the more I got into it, I also realized that a lot of people do videos and that those are also received well. So I was like, well, because I did. So I had TikTok before it was called TikTok. I did Musical.ly, I think it was called. And so I had an account there and I'd made videos there before. But then I thought, well, if I can do it there, then I can do it on Instagram too. And since I'm already building Instagram, let's just go with that. So I started later on doing videos as well. And I actually kind of really like making those, especially the little like short funny ones. So as long as it's fun.
Nice.
And yes. I'll keep going.
We are very excited to be able to introduce you to our new sponsor, Jenny AI. Not only does Jenny make our podcast possible, it also makes our life as scientists so much easier. Jenny is an all-in-one writing assistant that has everything that we have been missing in other AI tools.
Yes, first off, unlike other AI tools, it actually finds accurate information in papers and cites its sources. It does not make things up and only uses real, verified information that you can then also check the source of.
Second, it's a writing assistant trained for academic papers and helps you write your paper by suggesting the next sentence or the end of your sentence. Or, if you get really stuck, you can ask it to write an entire paragraph, completely removing the writer's block I so often struggle with when I don't know the right words to make my point. It helped me write an introduction to a paper I've been struggling with in half an hour. It even suggests which papers to cite. You can add your own library or search the entire internet for papers. Just type the add symbol to easily add a reference and it gets automatically added to the reference list.
And the last thing we absolutely love is that it has an AI chatbot that can see your document and give feedback on how to improve your manuscript. Or you can ask it questions, such as what are the potential therapeutic benefits of ... and it will search through the papers for you for the answer. I can only say that my stress level has gone down significantly since I started using Jenny. Check out the free version now at thestrugglingscientist.com/Jenny. And if you love it, use the code SCIENCE20 for a 20% discount.
Okay. Well, now you are sharing a lot of interesting videos and photos and everything online. What is your general aim with that? Are you trying to reach scientists specifically? Are you trying to reach more general audience and tell them about what life as a scientist is like? What's your idea behind this?
Who am I trying to reach? I think anyone, but also specifically more people that don't know what the life is like. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'll split it into people. There's people that don't know anything about it and want to get into it. And I try to give them tips on how do you do it and how does Holland differ from other countries mm-hmm. in how they treat PhDs, how to get a PhD, how to survive a PhD. The other part of it is just to relate to people who are doing PhDs, because I think a lot of people don't realize that we're all going through the same thing. And when you post something and people are like, wow, I really thought that that was just me, but it turns out there's like 25 other people here that feel the exact same way, then I think it's good to also bring people together that to know that you're not alone in doing the things that you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So I can imagine it's also quite a lot of work to create all the content that you do. You post quite frequently. Was it difficult to do this next to your PhD when you got sort of started with it? And even now, maybe you've scaled up since then.
It varies. Mm-hmm. So I think also with the PhD, there's moments where you have more time and there's mm-hmm. moments when you have less time. So there's definitely been times where I've like really wondered if I can even make a video for the day or even post a picture that day. But I kind of developed some strategies in order to help with just making content. Mm-hmm. So I made a lot of, if I'm doing something that is just a habit in the lab and I don't have to think too much about it, then I just set my phone up and do my work. And that way I kind of have this base content that I can use to make any type of video, if especially the advice videos, because it's not necessarily, I usually just overlay the text over something that I'm doing in the lab. So in that sense, then you already have like this cache of videos that you can pull from if you don't have time to make something new that day. As well as same goes for the pictures. If you have extra time that day, or I had a lot of nights where I was working and waiting on incubation steps. And I was like, well, might as well take a little video, one, to pass the time, and two, because it'll be handy for later. So then you kind of build up this store and then you can go from there. And since I have a train ride to and from work, that's usually when I build the videos that I'm going to post that day.
Yeah, nice. And you keep all the videos on your phone, or like, because I can imagine it also, maybe you have the idea for what video you're going to make, but then you already know you have like that video somewhere. Is it easy to find it back? Like, oh yeah, of course, it's that one. No.
I have spent a lot of time scrolling through all my pictures trying to find the one thing that I know I made at some point in the past 3 years. It's in there. I just don't know where.
The fault of content. Yeah.
I should be more organized, but maybe one day.
Nice.
And very effective also to do that in the train. How do you come up with the new ideas and the new advices and things like that you put in your videos or your other content?
Much like the rest of my process of this whole experience, it's very much how I feel that day, because I wanted to make sure that this always felt like a hobby, like something fun for me to do and not like an extra job on top of the job that I was already doing. So I didn't want to put a pressure of having some type of timetable of today we're going to do this, tomorrow we're going to do this. And maybe that works better for whatever algorithm, but I know it doesn't work for me. And some days that's not how I feel. So it very much depends on how I feel that day. And if I feel like discussing something, I do have a note in my phone of topics that I think of randomly and possible ideas, but it just depends on the day what I think will be the most fun to do, if I have time to do something, if it's going to take too long to put a video together or not, if I need to make new content, that type of stuff.
I can also imagine that depending on the type of content as well, there might be other people in the lab that sort of complicate that, like maybe they're in the way, or like if you're in the cell culture hood or something like that. So I was wondering, like, what do, because I assume the other people in your lab also know that you do this, I guess. What did they think about it? Sorry?
Most people do, yeah.
Ah, okay. So what did they think about this? Were they supportive from the beginning, or are they a little apprehensive about it? How do they think about it?
So I'll start with that we have a whole bunch of little labs where I work. And this makes it easy because there's not ever too many people in one lab. So as often you're kind of alone in the lab, which makes it easier to shoot content. Aside from that, I had a project that required me to work a lot of outside of office hours times, which just meant that the labs were going to be less full and busy anyways. So then it's kind of the perfect time to create something. And if I really wanted to make something and I knew people were busy and I didn't want to get in their way, I'll just wait until they leave and people are done for the day. And then I'll use the lab because if I'm flexible, I'm not going to make someone move their whole experiments. I mean, seems rude.
I am especially impressed also with how much daylight you have in the lab.
A lot
of it.
We
didn't have that.
Film in the summer. I try to film more because it's lighter. And then you can definitely tell when it's between the time, if it's winter time, then I have a lot more darker pictures.
But if you look carefully, you can tell when exactly.
And as for people in my group, so my supervisor is actually a very big fan of science communication. And he also, at some point, I think it was last year, he organized a little, like, I don't want to say it was a retreat. It was like an off day for the group. And we just kind of hung out together and we did a little workshop together. And he wanted it to be on science communication. And we all had to present something of how we would communicate our projects to a wider audience, and it was very open on what we wanted to do. So I actually made an Instagram video for that assignment, and he was a huge fan because I also shared my Instagram page then, and he was very excited and people thought it was cool. And I actually still have the video of what I made that day, but since the video I made it on was for a project that wasn't published yet, I haven't been able to share it, but it should be published very, very soon. It's been accepted. I've read the proofs, which means that I can finally share this video that I've been sitting on for like a year.
Somewhere in the vault, you can scroll back. And
I know that one's in a summer folder somewhere.
That's a thing a lot of scientists struggle with. Like, what do you post on social media? Because your research is still not available yet, and I think you fix that in a very good way.
So I try to make sure that most of my posts aren't actually about the research I'm doing and more about on the PhD side of things. But once my work is published, then I'm definitely going to share it and try to explain it to people. So when I can share it, it's definitely coming.
Do we get to know how long the video is or was? Is it like a 10-minute thing?
It's basically just an Instagram reel. So I want to say it's max 30 seconds.
Okay. Cool. Now that you've been on Instagram for a bit, what have been some of the sort of positive sides and maybe also some of the negative sides that have come from being so open and transparent on Instagram and sharing content on Instagram?
I would say the positives are definitely connecting with people that you never would have connected with otherwise, especially in different countries and that do either very similar things to you or just have the same experiences as you do. Mm-hmm. And being able to meet some of them as well, that's super fun, as well as just getting feedback from people online who really appreciate the things that you post and like the things that you post and say, oh, this is great. Thanks for sharing this stuff. That makes me really happy. I was trying to think of a negative thing because so far I haven't really had to deal with too many people being negative about my Instagram page, but I would say the negative is always being uncertain of what you post and if that will be received okay. Mm-hmm. And if it's like okay to post the things that you're posting, mm-hmm. because I mean, they're pretty basic things, but you never know, especially if I'm going to be looking for a job soon, if that will be received in the same positive way that I see it as. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's some question marks always with it, but in the greater sense, I still think it's fun and I think it's important to share. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Did you also get any opportunities for your career out of this already? Or did you ever get recognized at congresses or things like that?
opportunities for a career? No. Maybe one day, but it's definitely not big enough yet. I have been recognized, not on the street, but at a conference. And I was not expecting it because I didn't go to the conference expecting anyone to know me, because I think it's kind of weird to walk in and be like, yeah, don't you know me? I know. I'm Natalie, duh. So, but when they did find out who I was, everyone was super excited about it and like, oh, I like your content, that type of stuff. But then still, like, it didn't make it different or anything with the people that I had connected with at that conference. We were still just friends and it was just an extra thing about me. And I really liked that it wasn't like changing anything about the dynamics.
Yeah. It didn't make it awkward. It just added on top of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly.
For sure. I also don't think, in terms of career opportunities on Instagram, there are too many PIs just scrolling around and things
I
like that.
I do know of one PI. I went to a PhD defense of an ex-colleague of mine. And on the opposition committee, there was a PI who also has an Instagram account. And we didn't stay afterwards, so I didn't actually talk to him, but he sent me a message on Instagram. It's like, I saw you. I was there. I was in the opposition. I was like, whoa.
Cool.
Networking.
So it's funny. There are PIs out there that have Instagram accounts that talk about how it is to be a PI, which is also very interesting.
And useful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, but Instagram is usually not the one that people think about first when they're talking about like things like networking or for scientists.
I think it's becoming bigger, but I think for scientists, they're still quite stuck on Twitter and things like that.
LinkedIn but also, yeah.
LinkedIn very much, for sure. But I think it should be broader and it should be more accepted that people share this type of content about what they do. Yeah. Online. And I think it's useful to people, and as well as getting the word out about the research that you do.
Yeah. And also as creators who are on basically every platform except for TikTok, I think also the people on Instagram are just very, very nice and kind and
It's a very supportive.
Yeah, I think so too. I've seen comments on other people's pages that aren't always very nice. I'm just wondering, in a general sense, why be mean? But in a general sense, what I've experienced is very positive.
Yeah, it's often certain topics like AI gets some discussions going and things like that.
So. Yeah, definitely.
But that's on every platform.
Yeah.
So maybe just a last I don't mean to put you in the hot seat, but sort of what is next for you? And are you going to take people along on this journey as well as you move forward?
So I definitely 100% will keep making content and taking people along because it's fun and I want to. So why not?
For sure.
It is a good question. What my my Instagram account is going to become, because I am at the end of my PhD now and I am trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life now and what that means for my Instagram. But I figured I'm just going to kind of keep trying and making posts because I'm sure there's also tons of people out there that don't know what to do next. Want to understand what that is about. And once I do decide what my next career step is, explaining that to people, why did I choose this? What is interesting about it, etc.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that is also something that a lot of people are interested in. And also not a lot of people talk about on Instagram. So that's great.
Yeah.
Nice,
yeah, I think it's hard because it seems like such a negative thing. Like, oh, I don't know what to do with my life, but that's life, I guess. You don't always know what you're going to do next.
No, I think every PhD student experiences that at the end of their PhD. Like, oh my God, now what I do.
And what options are there and why are there so many?
Have you ever considered doing social media as a job?
I have considered it, but I think for me, I do actually really like the science aspect of what I do. So I want something, I think this would still stay more on the side as I still pursue something scientific.
For sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Natalie.
We loved having you as a podcast.
Yes, we loved having you as a podcast guest. If people would like to find you, how can they do so? Instagram, I assume.
Of course, on Instagram. It's life_and_sunshine. And I also have a TikTok, which I'm pretty sure is life, the same handle, or it might be life and sunshine with a one at the end.
Okay.
I'm sure they will be able to find you.
And Threads as well, right?
And what?
Threads as well.
Yeah. Threads is the same.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. For our listeners, if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you can reach out to us via our website, thestrugglingscientist.com. You can also check out our website to sign up for the awesome Journal of the Struggling Scientist, also known as our newsletter. And if you have enjoyed this episode, then leave us a rating on your favorite podcast listening platform, as it helps us reach more struggling scientists out there. And there are a lot, so. You can also follow us on social media. Jaron, which ones are those again?
X, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube.
And Threads.
And Threads, yes.
We still need that one. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.